Welcome to Faith Victory Ministries International with Pastor Charles Entry. Please prepare your hearts and your minds to receive this great revelation from the Holy Spirit. May the Lord God bless you.
One more time, everyone is very welcome. And I have always been saying, I said, don't see yourself coming to church as just a Sunday routine. But you have to see it as a divine appointment. Because you cannot make it here if the Lord is not making it possible for you to come. And the proof is that we have so many that are sick in hospitals, many that have entered into various accidents. One way or another, something had happened. And even though they wish to be somewhere, they cannot because of their condition. But you are not in the mortuary, but you are in the sanctuary of the Lord. And this is just a wonderful grace. And we thank God for the power that waked you up this morning. We hear death everywhere, and so much is going on. And one thing that is sure is that the greatest fear of man is death. Death is the greatest fear of man. No matter how strong one thinks he is, when that person knows that I am going through a situation that might lead me to death, they think twice. So we children of God, it is important for us to understand what it means to die, what death is all about. And this is what I would like to talk about today. So our subject will simply be death. Death. What does it mean? Is it something that comes in a man's life and then truly, as many are thinking, life stops just right here? Or there is life beyond death? We are going to see the origin of death and also the meaning of death. Where and when death came to a man's life, and what it means for a man when we say that someone is dead. The Bible let us understand clearly that death was not something that the Lord created from the very beginning and impacted it in a man's life. It is something that came as a result of the fall of man. So this fall, you have been hearing about it. We want to highlight few scriptures to define what this fall of man is all about. So, the book of Genesis chapter 2 and the verses 16 and 17. God, after created man in the sense of Adam and Eve, the Lord placed them in the garden and gave them a commandment. After he had blessed them and put everything onto their subjection. And the Lord commanded them that there are certain things, particularly one thing, that they should not do. And that thing is found here, Genesis 2, 16, 17. He said, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. This is God's commandment when he created man and furnished a garden for man, put everything under man's feet, and put man in total control, and gave man one commandment. In the midst of this garden, there is a tree, and this tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not touch it. Because the day that you will eat from this tree, you shall surely die. That was the commandment of God. In Genesis 3, and the verse is 3 to 7, after this commandment, then Satan also came to tempt man. And he came in the form of a serpent and said unto the woman, Eve. After he found out through Eve's mouth that God has given them a commandment saying that you will not eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said unto the woman, God said you will die, but ye shall not surely die. Ye shall not surely die. For God himself do know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. It is interesting. God told them that tree, the characteristic of this tree is the knowledge of good and evil. And Satan coming to say that you will not die as God said you will die if you eat out of this tree. Because the day that you will eat from this tree, you will be like a god. Your eyes is going to be open and you will know what is good and what is what? Evil. Which means that from the very beginning, the Lord God did not want us to eat from that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge of good and evil is not something that is good for man. That is why God commanded man to stay away from it. But we did not. So, as a result of that, the woman listened to Satan, the serpent. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. The moment that they ate the fruit, the eyes of both of them were open, and they started knowing that they were naked. One eye is open, another one is what is closed. So, from the very beginning, didn't they know that they were naked? But now, it came, their nakedness, the view of their nakedness came after they have eaten of this fruit of the tree. You know, right here, they have disobeyed the commandment of God. So, in Genesis 3, and the verses 17 to 19, God came in to the situation and the Lord asked what had happened. Adam made a statement. Eve made a statement. Serpent. So God started speaking and cursing. The Lord cursed the serpent, Satan. God did not curse man, but God cursed the ground for the man's sake of disobeying God. So Genesis 3, 17 to 19, he said, when God asked Adam what had happened, the Lord said that, Adam said, it is the woman that you gave me. And God said to Adam, Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Please, it is important for one to understand that God did not curse man. The curse here is cursed, is the ground for the sake of man. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Now watch this in verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, and from the dust thou art, and unto the dust shalt thou return. This is serious. That's what death is all about. From the death, for the dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. That is death. So when we talk about the fall of a man, this is it. This is the picture of this Christian doctrine about the fall of a man. God bless us and give us a commandment over everything that he has done. The man listened to the voice of serpent instead of the voice of the Lord, and we transgress the commandment of God. And the result is what we have just read. That now man is going to live physically. But as I said before, one eye is already open. Something that was not there, it's now there. It means that there has been a change. A change that man could not really, you know, see the impact or the depth of that change. But it was deeper than what Adam and Eve thought of themselves, seeing themselves being naked. Now they're going to have to work hard. And the ground is also cursed. So we have to work hard for the ground to yield forth unto man. And most importantly, after the work, the Lord said, dust are you are, and dust that you are going to. That is death. You came from the ground, and we know this in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2 and the verses 7. He said, the word says that he said, and the Lord God took the dust of the ground and formed man. And breathed into man's nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So that is our initial. So dust we are from, and dust we are going. But God never, this whole situation wouldn't have happened if man stayed with the commandment of God. But now the whole situation has been changed, and man is now subject to death. So the origin of death is what we have just mentioned. But you can see that there are three different types of death. The three types are here. That is how the Bible teaches us. Number one, there is a physical death. Number two, there is a spiritual death. And number three, we also have eternal death. So when man die physically, we will find out maybe another time what really takes place. But today we focus on the subject of death itself. A man can die physically. A man can also die spiritually. And a man can die eternally. But one thing that is important is that all the three forms or three types of death, they occurred as a result of sin, as a result of the fall of man that we have been through. You know, few examples here in Romans chapter 5 and the verses 12. The word say, he said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, For that all have sinned. The act that took place in the garden through Adam, it is mankind that fell into sin. And what happened to Adam automatically came upon mankind. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the verse is 22. It proves what I just said. He said, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So already God had made a provision available for man to come out of death. In Adam, for sure, all died. So it means that everyone that is still in the state of Adam remain or subject to death. But Jesus Christ has been given as the solution to death. So when you come to know our Lord Jesus, death has no power over you, because he said Christ shall make you live again. So we said it, regardless of whether the death is physical or spiritual or eternal, all the three forms are all from the fall of the man. All the three. You die physically, you die spiritually, you die eternally. It's due to the fall of a man. Why? Romans 6:23, he said that because the wages of sin is death. So you cannot sin and go scot-free. But God, in his infinite mercies, he gave the gift, which is the eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you can always see the two pictures. One side completely dark for man, and another side, a great light of future that has been made available to man. So the reality is that death is considered as a penal evil. Death is considered as a penal evil. It is the just punishment of sin. Death, it is the just punishment of sin. But we thank God for his mercies, because he had also given as a gift eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the first picture. So through this, let's try and understand the meaning of death. What does it mean when someone died? Does it mean that a person is dead and everything ceases and that's it? No existence of that person, everything is just, you know, it is important, because we have a lot of people in the world out there, so many that are believing that once they die, then this is it. But that is not what the Bible is teaching us. Death is not cessation of existence, neither cessation of consciousness. Death, it is simply a separation. It means that when one dies, it doesn't mean that that person, there is no more activity within that person. But we are talking, Bible talks about a separation. So there is a separation of the body and the separation of the spirit and the soul, because we do know that man is three in one. Man is a spirit being, he has a soul, and he lives in the body. So the moment that a man dies, automatically, the body is what is on the ground. We take them into the cemeteries, and we put them under 6 feet. The body is there. But the soul of that person and the spirit of that person is not buried. Hallelujah. What a mighty God that we serve. Without light, it is difficult. You know, the reason why I am saying this, that death is simply a separation, because there is a record of Lazarus and the rich man in the book of Luke 16, 19 to 31. There is a story of these two people that lived and both died. And after their death, they started having a conversation. That conversation was not over here in this world. Both died. And they were still talking to each other. So that is why we say that it is not cessation of existence. So they continue existing and their conscience is also alive. So then what does it mean when someone dies physically? Our answer is found in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and the verse 7. He said, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. Genesis 2:7. And the spirit, it shall return unto God who gave it. It is true. And the man breathed unto man's nostril the breath of life. That breath that came from God, that is the spirit that God gave to man. It shall return back to God who gave it. James chapter 2 verse 26 says that, he said, for us the body without the spirit is dead. The body without the spirit is dead. So faith without works is dead also. So death means the body without the spirit. So we can say that physical death is separation of the immaterial part of man from the material part of man. The immaterial part of man is what you don't see. The spirit of that man and the soul of that man. The material part of man is what you see. The body that is left in the grave. It is not a cessation of existence or consciousness, but a separation of the immaterial part from the material part of man. We have only two people in the Bible that did not die. Enoch and Elijah. So these are the only two that did not die, because the Lord took them. Beside these two, physical death is a penalty of sin for every man that dies. There is a situation that Christ brought enlightenment concerning this particular subject, especially when you have come to know our Lord Jesus Christ. A man named Jairus, in the book of Mark chapter 5 and the verses is 39. The story behind this is that this Jairus came to Jesus and said that my daughter is very sick and at the point of dying. So please come and help me. And this man was a very committed in the synagogue. So the Lord followed him and went. And when God, Jesus Christ, went to the house, everybody was crying and weeping because by the time he got there, the daughter is already dead. And listen to what Jesus said. So when Jesus came in, Mark 5:39, he said unto they that were crying, and he said, why make ye this ado? So in other words, why make you all this commotion? Why are you crying? Why are you so sorrowful? And he said, why are you weeping? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. So the girl is not dead, she is sleeping. When Jesus said that, everybody laughed at him. They all laugh at him because everyone knew that the girl was gone, was dead. But Jesus came into the situation and said, you are the daughter of one that stands in the faith in our Lord Almighty God. That girl, even though you think that she's gone. She is not dead. She is sleeping. She is sleeping. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the verses 13. Apostle Paul made a statement to the people in Thessalonica. He said, I will not, brethren, I will not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. These are the ones that are dead. They were asking the question. He said, please, it's all about the rapture and all that. So if Jesus Christ is coming for us, what about the people that are already dead? Is he people that are dead in Christ? Are they also coming? They were concerned about their loved ones that are gone. And Apostle Paul said that it's a matter of knowledge. You need to know this. That those people, they are not dead. They are what? Sleeping. So don't be sorrowful, even as others which have no hope. Don't be sorrowful, even as others which have no hope. The others which have no hope are the ones that have not come to know our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no hope for them. Because we said it, that death is the dark part of man. But there is another part which has been given as a provision, a gift from Almighty God. The Son, Jesus Christ, is given for every man to receive eternal life through him. So you don't have to die. Or even when you die in Christ Jesus, he is going to make you live again. He's going to make you live again. So there is hope in everyone that have come to know the Lord Jesus. So when the Bible used the term sleep in reference to death, it is not teaching soul sleeping. When the Bible is using death or sleep in the reference to death, he is not teaching soul sleeping or spirit sleeping. Because the word sleep does not refer to the soul, but only to the body. The word sleep does not refer, and we all know this. We sleep and wake up every morning, and we do know that it's not the soul that is sleeping, but the body is sleeping. And matter of fact, it is very, very interesting because I have been saying, I said, if you don't know death, look unto sleep. When a man is sleeping, the bed where you are lying, you have no idea. The moment that you are gone into sleep, you don't even know where you are. But one thing that is sure, you don't know where the body is. But one thing that is sure, you are dreaming and a lot of activities are going on. And one thing that is sure is that your heart, your mind, your organs are not, they don't stop functioning. They are still working. But still, you have no idea where the body is. So it is when it comes to sleep in the relationship to death. So it means that there is simply, you know, suspension of physical activities when one is sleeping. When you are sleeping, you are not cooking. When you are sleeping, you are not bathing. You are sleeping. So it is. There is a suspension. But when you end up with your sleep, you wake up and you go back to your activities. Then the suspension stops just right there. And you move on. You are awake now. So it is. So it is. Death is not cessation of consciousness or existence. Death is simply, when we say he's sleeping in the sense of death, it is a temporary suspension of physical activity. But the spirit and the soul, the mind of the one that is still continuing, you know, functioning as the person is sleeping, So it is. The spirit and the soul continues. But there is a suspension of the activity of the body, which is in the grave, 6 feet, just right there. You know, we mentioned this before in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 22. We said that as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Romans 8:23 also says, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. So when one dies in Christ, there is a waiting for the day that the body is going to be what? Resurrected. They that have gone before us, either you are a believer or not, resurrection is not subject to believers only. Everybody is going to be resurrected. Everyone. But the condition of the life beyond resurrection, that is where you will know who is of the Lord and who is not. Matter of fact, when it comes to who served the Lord and died in Christ and who did not serve the Lord and die in the world, it is immediate. We will talk about it. Something happened right away. As soon as someone who had accepted our Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, the moment that that person dies, one eye is closed, another one is open. When the eyes is open, where you are? Where are you? Where do you find yourself? That is what makes the difference between one that served the Lord and another one that is not serving God. But everybody, everyone, believer as unbelievers, shall all be resurrected. So for the believer, death is not a punishment anymore. It means that it's just a means for you to enter into heaven. For the believer. So we can, you know, with all that we have said, we can simply conclude that this is the reason why the Bible is not talking about death for a believer, but he talks about sleep. Because that believer, his body is sleeping. At the appointed time, the Lord will join the spirit of that man, the soul of that man to the body for the judgment. So the remedy for physical death will be a physical resurrection. Physical resurrection will be the remedy effect of physical death. So the antidote of physical death, when you die physically, is what? Is the resurrection. That is the remedy of physical death. This is so wonderful. The Lord keep telling us, he said that the work that you are doing, your work shall not be in vain. Continue pressing on to perfection. Continue serving your God. A time is coming that there shall be a clear difference between they that serve the Lord and they that did not. You die in the Lord, your state is completely different from someone who has just come here and said that he was the overall boss of this world and just moving around, knowing all the goodness of God and everything that, you know, we have been preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. But they have decided not to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let me say this. This is not stories. These are realities of man. Now that we have talked about the physical death, let's talk about the spiritual death. What does it mean when one die spiritually? Well, it's the same thing as physical death separates one from the physical world. So a spiritual death separates one from God. So a spiritual death separates one from God in time. Because in that Genesis 2, 16, 17 that we read together, when the Lord commanded the man, saying that of every tree of the garden, thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And they die because when they ate from that tree and the Lord was coming, God was calling Adam, Adam, where are you? Almighty God suddenly could not see Adam anymore in the garden. And Adam was hiding also from God. You can see clearly separation. But it was not so from the very beginning. Because from the very beginning, God will walk in the evening time in the garden and have fellowship with Adam. There have not been previously any situation where the Lord is looking for Adam and calling for Adam. But the moment that physical death came in, when they saw their nakedness, automatically the separation came. When God said, "You shall surely die," that certainty took place right there. And they died. And we were separated from God. So spiritual death, like physical death, is also a penalty from sin. Because the spiritual death also took place right after the sin. So it's the punishment. The Lord warned Adam, but they disobeyed the commandment of God. And the proof is that the moment that they ate that fruit, both did not die physically. They continue living and have children. But spiritually, that spiritual death has already been taking place. Adam and Eve did not even know. But they found out because, Adam, where are you? God, I'm here. Where are you, Adam? I'm hiding. Hiding from God that you have been having fellowship. Fellowship with every moment. Hiding from the one that you take that much joy. Adam and Eve knew that something has been changed. They saw their nakedness that they have never seen it before. That's why he went and hid the nakedness. You know, it is to tell you that your God that created you is not in business to expose any nakedness of you. Even at the fall, after the fall, God is still going to kill. The Lord God is the first person that shed blood. Kill the animal, use the skin of that animal to make clothes for Adam and Eve. Move on, drove them out of the garden. He continued taking care of them. But from the very beginning, the lamb was slain. So Jesus Christ has been the solution of man's life from the very beginning. God is omniscient and he knows everything ahead of time. That is why he warned them. That is the reason why, you know, when we talk about the love of God, people don't understand. God loves you so much. That is why he tells you, don't go here. It's like our parents. They knew better than you and they are telling you that don't go into this situation. You will get yourself into trouble. By that time, you don't listen to them. Until we have gone and faced the situation, then we come back crying. So now we can say that the nature of Adam and Eve had become contrary to God's nature because of the fall. It is true. The fellowship is now difficult. It's broken. So this is our predicament as children of God. We are the descendants of Adam. Everyone that is born of a woman automatically. You see, it's so interesting. You come into this world, your nature is Adamic nature. You are subject to death if you are not coming to know our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will be talking more in details about what makes the difference between one that died in Christ and one that is not dying in Christ. There's a clear difference, and it is so important. As far as you have come to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved, because we just read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the verse 22 that we read. He said, "For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made what? Alive." So if you are in Christ, you have hope. In John 5:24, the word says, Jesus is the one that made the statement. He said, "Verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me." You hear my word, you believe in my Father God that sent me here, you have everlasting life and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Hallelujah. It's passed from death unto life. So it means that anyone that have not come to know our Lord Jesus Christ, as you are hearing this word, please repent and come, run quickly to Jesus. Because you are in a state of death. Life is only in Christ, nothing else. If you are believing money is life, you are wrong. If you are living for material things and you are thinking that you have life, you are wrong. And that is why the message of God, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, is being preached to tell you that there is a solution. You don't have to live in that state of life. For Christ had already paid the price, and he has come to us as a gift of eternal life. But it has to be received through Jesus. So our stubbornness, whatever that the enemy is doing against you, to reject the gospel of Christ, to reject Jesus Christ, you have to know that this man, Satan, is wicked and can never have any good plan for nobody. Jesus said it in John 10:10. He said the thief, that is that serpent, the same old serpent that showed up in the garden, the same one, he's a thief. He cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He will steal your life. You will end up dying unto destruction, because if you die outside Christ, your death is eternal. Ephesians 2:5-6. Apostle Paul made a statement. He said, even when we were dead in sin, when we were dead in sins, Christ had quickened us together. Had quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Hallelujah. So John 1:17, he said that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. By grace ye are saved. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ came and brought us this truth that we are talking about this morning. When someone stands out there and says, "You don't know me, me, you wait, I will kill you. I will kill you," and boasting that they're going to kill you and finish you. First of all, you are not in control of my life. Secondly, the one that is in me is greater than you.
And thirdly, if God permits me to die, it's because it is God's will, not because you want to kill me. So let's continue that scripture. Ephesians 2, the verse is 6. He said, God had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is hope, to come to know Jesus Christ. So now we can say that the remedy for spiritual death is to be made alive or be quickened by faith in Christ Jesus. That's it. By faith in Christ Jesus. Well, that was spiritual death. We have one more to go. And that one is the meaning of eternal death, or what is also called second death. Second, because a man dies physically. And when you are dead physically, there's going to be a judgment. And after the judgment, according to your works, according to your deeds, when you are alive, you are either going to live or you are going to die again. So that is jeopardy, double death. Amen? So now, as we said that spiritual death is a separation from God in time, so it is over here, there is a higher level. Eternal death or second death also means separation from God in eternity. So this is it. One is separation in time, because when one is spiritually dead, that person, there can be repentance. And the person might come back and renew his relationship with God, and the Lord will continue with you. But the second death or eternal death, this is eternal separation. You always have to remember, people think that, you know, we have stages. If you are not in Christ and you die and you go to hell, hell is not the end of it. The lake of fire is the end of it. Because hell is the place that you will be waiting for the judgment. And after the judgment, you are moved from hell to the lake of fire. The lake of fire is not a place. Even hell, God created it. And he did not create hell for man. Hell is created for Satan and his demonic angels, fallen angels. This is the reason why when the fall came, God still stepped in and made close for man and continued with man. He said, you know what? It had already happened. You disobeyed me, but still there is hope. Today, you and I, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, standing in the promise of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, we are able to say that we have hope. Revelation chapter 21 and the verse is 8. The word says, he said, the fearful, so the ones that have fear, the fearful and unbelieving, they that have not believed in our Lord Jesus Christ, and the abominable, they that did abomination unto God, abomination in the sight of God, and the murderers, they that identify themselves with Satan, the murderer, and the whoremongers, and the sorceress, and the idolaters, and all liars. This one is very, because we take lie as something that is not much important. The liars, The word says, shall not have their part in the lake. He said, shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone. So the list of people that we have mentioned here, they that fear. Of course, you have to fear. You have not come to know Jesus. You die in great fear. These ones, the unbelieving, they that have rejected the gifts of God, which is Jesus Christ. They that have done abominable things in the sight of God, and the murderers that link hand with Satan, these people, God said, they shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Please, this is the word of God. What I just read is revelation given to the last apostle, John. And Revelation 20 and the verses 14, he said, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Death and hell, they were cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the final for the wicked, for the unbelievers, for the whoremongers, for the idolaters, for liars. Lake of fire. We take pleasure in lying. Oh, that's what everybody says. So that's not a big deal. Why are you making it a big deal? Let me tell you, it is a big deal because it is going to be a big deal that is going to drive you to eternal fire. That place, there is no God. God is in the world. Upon all that is happening in this world today, it's because God is in the world that is the reason why we are even able to preach the gospel. The most painful thing that can ever happen to any man is to live and having God out of your life. Torment. Constant torment. Remember the story that we told? I mean, we mentioned it. We didn't go into details. The story of the rich man and the Lazarus. The rich man was in hell, being tormented. Father Abraham, please tell Lazarus, the poor guy, to dip even his only finger into the water and come and cool my tongue. Abraham said, my son, this, look at this. Son, he called him son. So this guy, one way or another, something has gone wrong. Backsliders, people that are sliding slowly from Christ, watch out. Watch out. Because that place called hell is a place of torment. Not, and then you're standing there, we're telling you about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, to hell with you. There is no hell to me, but surely hell is awaiting for you. Don't tell me to hell with me. So you know about hell. You have heard the word hell. The rejection of, you know, there is no sin that Christ cannot forgive. There is no sin that Jesus Christ cannot forgive. No matter how much you have sinned and whatever that you have done, Christ is able to forgive you. The hope that you have now is now that you are alive, that you are hearing this word of God. When death comes in, that you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's it. There is no second chance, but there is second death. So Jesus said in John 8 and the verses 24, he said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. What else do you want us to tell you? Jesus Christ is the only solution for death. Jesus Christ is the only hope for life. Jesus Christ is the only one that has power to make a dead person alive. I'm not talking about this physical aspect only. He will bring you also out of what? Spiritual death. As far as a man is alive, there is hope in that man. Please amend your ways. Repent. Repentance is a complete U-turn. Turn around. And we are ending just right here in Revelation chapter 20 and the verses 11 to 15. God allow John to see beyond, to see what is to come. And John wrote, he said, I saw a great white throne. God opened heavens and brought forth divine revelation to Apostle John. And John said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. I saw the dead. He saw the dead, small and great. They stand before God and the books were open. He saw the dead, small and great. They stand before the Lord and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. The books were open and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Please, every single thing that you are doing, every moment of your life, there is a record being kept of your life. If you are greedy and you want to deceive the insurance companies, you might just burn your house and with certain documents. Let me tell you, the records that are kept in heaven, no one burns them. Every moment, the books were open and another book was open. That was the book of life. And the judgment were according to what is written in this book. Please, let me tell you this. Amend your ways. Do the right thing. Forgive people. Stand for the Lord. Do what the Lord required of you, because your life is in line. Your life is in line. Let them go with their satanic deeds. Stand for Christ. Make sure that you are not a victim of anything until the Lord calls you home. Do good. Love your enemies. Because they don't know what is awaiting for them. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead. The seas, ships that sank. Anyone that died there that they could not find their bodies, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell deliver up dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their work. They were judged every man according to their work. They were judged every man according to their work. They were judged every man according to their work. And the dead, the death, and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire, it is the place of eternal death. The second death, that is the lake of fire. It is the place where the separated ones will be for eternity. It is the place where the separated ones will be for eternity. May the Lord God bless you. May the Lord bless your generations. May the Lord bless his word in your life. May the Lord help you to turn away from any device of the devil. Stand for the glory of the living God. For there is a glorious life awaiting for you. Anyone, you know, people are afraid for the enemy to kill them physically. Please, it is beyond this physical death. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding has come to you this afternoon. Stand for Christ. Stand for your life. Do what the Lord God has called you to do. And you and your generations shall live, lifting up the banner of our Lord Jesus Christ unto the glory, because there is a glorious place that the Lord has reserved for you. Building mansion for you, and he shall call you home, saying, faithful servant, here you are. Your works shall never be in vain. May the Lord bless you. Amen.
You just received a word from Pastor Charles Entry at Faith Victory Ministries International. For more messages and other great resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ, please be sure to visit us at faithvictoryministries.org. That's faithvictoryministries.org. And may God continue to bless you.